We're in Psalm chapter 90 tonight, and we've got one more week in the Psalms, and then we'll get back into Ephesians. And I looked today, Brother Jeff, it was chapter 2, verse 14. Amen. I already had some titles lined up for the coming year. Amen. He is our peace. And praise the Lord for that. All right, Psalm chapter 90, if you're physically able, would you stand? And we'll go ahead and read this entire psalm, 17 verses. And I want to, Lord willing, preach tonight on It's Just a Matter of Time. It's just a matter of time. And we'll start in Psalm 90, reading responsively. I'll read the odd verses. You read the even-numbered verses. Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, Thou hadst been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away with a flood, are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou the work of our hands upon us, yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Many Bible students place Psalm 90 and 91 as the oldest writings in the Bible other than the book of Job. Very interesting if you have, I know some of you have a chronological Bible, Rees Chronological Bible. It's an interesting Bible. I believe the first verses are, the first verse in that is verse 2. And that is, of course, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. And then it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then it says, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's kind of an interesting Bible, interesting note. Those of you, again, that know your Bible and know the Psalms, know that they are divided into what we call 5 books in correspondence with the first 5 books of your Bible, which we know as the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Book number 1, representing Genesis, is Psalms 1 through 41. Book number 2, representing Exodus, Psalm 42 through 72. Book number 3, representing Leviticus, Psalm 73 through 89. And here in your Bible, if you have a study Bible, it probably says book number 4, right here in Psalm 90, Numbers. Psalm 90 through 106. Now again, knowing your Bible, it's important regarding this being the first book corresponding with Numbers. What did they do in Numbers? They wandered in the wilderness. It's important, especially as we get to the end of this psalm, just to consider that, amen, as we look at it. Psalm 90 was written, it says here, by Moses, and if you look at the introduction, it says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. What a title that is. I have a dear friend that when I call him, Pastor Marty Schott, I always call him, every time I call him, I say, man of God, how are you? And you say, wow, that's a blessing. I'm telling you, that is an incredible title. Do you know only 8 specific people, specific men in the Bible, were given that title? Of course, here we know Moses. 5 times it's given to Moses. Samuel, 4 times in one chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 9. Shemaiah, 1 Kings 12 and 2 Chronicles 11. Elijah, the man of God, 1 Kings 17. And then 2 Kings chapter 1, which is, forgive me, it just shows that God has a sense of humor, that particular passage, when they come to him and say, yeah, man of God, come down here. Remember that? The captain of 50 come and he said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down out of heaven. And then a second dumb captain comes up and says, hey, man of God, we said come down. And he says it again. And finally, the last one says, excuse me, sir, would you please come down and not call down fire upon us? Amen. Elijah's called a man of God 7 times. The person in the Bible most times called the man of God, 28 times, is Elisha. Elisha. Okay, we know him at following Elijah. David is called a man of God 3 times. A man named Igdala is called a man of God in Jeremiah 35. And then the only one in the New Testament referred to as a man of God is Timothy. Young Timothy, old man of God, Paul said. Flee also youthful lusts. And so he's called here a man of God. I like to look at the psalm and then particularly talk about this aspect of time. But number one, look if you would at the proper perspective. The proper perspective is found in really in verses 1 through 6 here. But the proper perspective, first of all, is our spectacular God. Our spectacular God. Look at verses 1 and 2. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Hey, here they were wandering, right? In the wilderness. And yet God was their dwelling place. And not only was he their dwelling place now, he's been their dwelling place for all generations. That's our God. Amen. That's our God. He is. He is an awesome God. He's a spectacular God. But then it also says there in verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth. And we know who brought them forth, by the way. One of the most interesting parts when we were at the Creation Museum last week was when we sat down and there was a video screen and it did the 6 days of creation. And boy, that day where the waters brought forth and the seas receded and the land came up, and it all happened by His Word. He spake and it was. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, I think we need to think about that more as we go into communion with God and remember, forgive me, not being irreverent, but remember who we're talking to. And by the way, whose children we are and who loves us. And it says here that before thee, that thou hadst ever formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Would do us well to get a proper perspective. I know the last few lessons we've been on have really kind of had the theme of when you're going through difficulty and going through trial, and yes, all of that. But hey, when you're wandering, get a proper perspective of our spectacular God. Not only is He our spectacular God, but He's our sympathetic God. It says there in verse 3, thou turnest man to destruction. And I think if we just read that, we think, well, what's that? I mean, what's? But look what the next part says. And sayest, return, ye children of men. Why does he allow us to go our own way, that we would see the futility of that way and return? And the whole time he's saying, just come back. And if you want a New Testament illustration of that, think of the prodigal. Think of the prodigal. As the father let him go, but waited for him to come back. And as soon as he saw him, because he was looking for him, he ran to him. I heard a song said, the only time I ever saw God run was in that passage when the Father, representative of God the Father, ran to meet his repentant child. So our sympathetic God, I think of the line from the song, though we have sinned, he has mercy and pardon. Pardon for you and for me. Hosea 14:4 says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. And if you know anything about the book of Hosea, it is a picture of how God's people treat him. And at the very end, he says, listen, I'll heal them. I love them. I love them. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7, God says, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord. It reminds me of a New Testament passage in James chapter 4, verse 8. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Come back to God. He's right there, amen. So he's our spectacular God in proper perspective. He's our sympathetic God in proper perspective. He is our steadfast God in proper perspective. Verse 4, for 1,000 years in thy sight are as but yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. Speaking of time here, thousands of years. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening is cut down and withereth. Through all the ages and all the eons and all the days and all the decades and all the millenniums, God is ever the same. He's steadfast. And ladies and gentlemen, that's why I want to say, you can trust what he said. He's not changing. He's not changing, amen. He is steadfast. So there's a proper perspective. But then we see some precise problems. We see some precise problems in verses 7 through 12. The first thing we see in verse 7 and 8 is the sinfulness of our lives before a holy God. He says, for we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Again, remembering what's going on in the book of Numbers, they are wandering in the wilderness. We understand that God pronounced 40 years worth of funerals upon those because of the spies. And so think about that here. As we're consumed by thine anger and by thy wrath, we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. I was just reading today, and the author I was reading after said there's no such thing as a secret sin, because God is God, and his eyes run to and fro, and he sees all. Amen? So, and he told the story about a preacher who would constantly, all he preached on was sin and judgment, sin and judgment. Now, sin and judgment is in the Bible, amen? And it should be preached on, amen? But all he would preach on was sin and judgment, sin and judgment, sin and judgment. And finally, a lady in his congregation won another lady in town to the Lord, and that lady came into the church and looked at that preacher and said, I know who you are. And I know what you do late on Friday nights downtown. He thought it was a secret sin. You know, the Bible still says in Proverbs 28:13, whoso covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh shall find mercy. Hey, aren't you glad yours are under the blood? Hey, if you've got unconfessed sin right now, you know what my recommendation is? Get it under the blood where it belongs. Don't let God bring it to light. See, again, the preacher I heard talking about that verse in Proverbs, he said this. He said, what you cover, God uncovers. But what you confess, God cleanses. Amen. Cleanses it. Doesn't cover it, cleanses it. It's gone. Doesn't exist anymore. And so we see here the precise problem is, first of all, our sinfulness, the sinfulness of our lives. But secondly, the shortness of our lives. Look at Psalm 90, verses 9 and 10. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. They're wandering, wandering, wandering. We spend our years as a tale that is told. That's, by the way, that's a great text right there. What's the tale that will be told of you? What tale will they tell of you in your years? The days of our years are 70. How many do we have north of 70 in this room? You're over 70. Raise your, come on now, be honest. It's okay, ladies. You're more than 70, okay? And then it says this, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, that's 80. How many are north of 80 in this room? Yeah, okay. What does it say? It says they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. You know, he says here, again, talking about God, and he thinking that he's that 1,000 years are in his sight as just a watch in the night. What is 70 or 80 years? It's just these short lives that we live. I'm 45 years old. I know that's not old. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Not old. But if this is middle age, I'll live to be 90. Right? Amen. I mean, that's... And I don't think I'll see 90. I happen to think the Lord's going to come before then. But just thinking about that, you're thinking 90 years would be a long life. But it's a short life in compared to eternity, isn't it? So the shortness of life, the sinfulness of life, but the seriousness of our lives in verses 11 and 12. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? And the answer to that question is nobody. Nobody knows the power of God's anger. Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The seriousness of it. That we ought to not haphazardly go through life. We ought to seek to apply our hearts unto wisdom and forgive me, and get the most out of life for God that we can. The seriousness of it. So there's the proper perspective, there's the precise problems, and then there's a prayer produced in verses 13 through 17. What is that proper perspective and those precise problems? What do they do? They move here, Moses, and he requests some things. Verse 13, he says, "Return, O Lord, how long?" I think here he's requesting, Brother Jim, a moving of God. God, you know, we're wandering in the wilderness. Come back and speak to us the way you used to. Did you ever feel that way? I have. Maybe you never backslid, but I have. And I thought, God, I'd sure like it if you'd move in my heart. If you'd stir my soul again. He asked for a moving of God. But then, not only did he request the moving of God, but look at verse 14. It says, "Oh, satisfy us early with thy what, church? Mercy." He not only requested the moving of God, but he requested the mercy of God. God's mercy upon us. Oh, how we ought to thank him. When I was praying, Brother Jim and I were praying, I was thanking God for his mercy. That we don't get what we deserve. Just that's what mercy is. It's that we don't get what we deserve. And he says, satisfy us early with thy mercy. He requested the moving of God. He requested the mercy of God. He requested in verse 15, look at it, make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, in the years wherein we have seen evil. He requested the merriment of God, or the joy, the joy. It reminds me of that verse in Psalm 51:8 that says, he says, bring back the joy and the bones which thou hast broken. Restore. Listen, yes, we're wandering in the wilderness here, but bring back the joy. verse 16. Not only the moving and the mercy and the merriment of God, but verse 16, he says, "Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children." I think here he asks for a manifestation of God. He said, God, work in our behalf and do a work that only could be attributed to you. I heard somebody say, and I don't know that I totally agree with the statement. They say, if you can explain it, then God didn't do it. I don't know if I totally agree with that, because I can explain that we have missions givers that send missionaries across the world. And I could also say that God moved in their hearts to do that, amen? But I know what they mean. I know what they mean. And that is, they say, God, we want you to do something that would just leave people shaking their heads. I got a call last night from Donna Raymond, and it was such a blessing, because she had called me earlier in the morning and said that she thought today that Brother John would have to have just a kidney surgery where they remove the stent and go in and laser the stone and all that. She called me last night. She said, Pastor, you're not going to believe this. She said, I got such an answer to prayer. She said, they went in and did that ultrasound today, and there is no stone.
Amen.
Yeah. How does that happen? I mean, we're talking about a piece of rock, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the kind that they supposedly can't remove. You know, they got to shoot it, and then it comes out in bits and pieces. But I'm going to tell you something. The God who brought forth the earth from the sea, and the God who's from everlasting to everlasting, does manifest himself. That's what the prayer here is, that God, manifest yourself. Show us. And then in verse 17, he requests the majesty of God. He says, and let the beauty of the Lord be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. The title is, it's just a matter of time. And of course, that's verse number 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Imagine that there is a bank that credits your account each morning with $86,400. Hallelujah for that. Amen. But every evening deletes whatever part of the balance you failed to use that day. What would you do? The same thing you would do. I'd draw out every cent. Amen. By the way, each of us has such a bank. It's called time. Every day, God gives us, if he gives us a full day, 86,400 seconds. And every night, it writes off whatever of this you failed to invest to a good purpose. It carries no balance. It allows no overdraft. Each day, it opens a new account for you. Each night burns the remains of the day. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours. There is no going back. There's no drawing against tomorrow. You must live in the present on today's deposits. Invest it so as to get from it the utmost in things eternal. The clock is running. We must make the most of today. This psalm could be well titled, The Brevity of Life and the Majesty of God. It's just a matter of time. Some of us have heard that gloomy phrase, maybe in a doctor's office. It's just a matter of time. In a hospital, we're pulling the plug, and it's just a matter of time. Maybe a job that you worked at for decades, and the boss said, you know, it's just a matter of time before everybody's been let go. I believe that what we do with our time is a very accurate measure of who we are and what is important to us. Let me say that again. I believe that what we do with our time is a very accurate measure of who we are and what is important to us. You may give a person money and get it back, but if you give a person your time, you never get it back. Our lives truly are just a matter of time. And the Bible tells us that time is flooding with evil. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And we know they are. Just this week, ladies and gentlemen, a couple towns over, they're talking about changing the entire dynamic of the public school system for a boy who thinks he's a girl. Ladies and gentlemen, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived, the Bible says. Time is flooding with evil. Time is flying by. How many of you know that? I literally can't believe I looked at a scrapbook that I had of sports clippings from my high school years, and it just dawned on me that the first picture in there is from 30 years ago. I was just thinking to myself, it was 1987. I was playing baseball. I made the varsity as a freshman. And I was looking at that saying, that's 30 years ago. Where did time go? Some of you have been married 20, 30, 40, 50 years, 60 years, howling 68 years. Where did it go? It flew by. It flew by. James says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. Time's flooding, it's flying, it's fleeting. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. Oh, you're working during the day, and that sun's at its peak, and you're sweating and toiling, and I'm telling you, it's fleeting. It's moving to the west. It's moving. Everything starts to darken up a little bit. Hey, that's time for us. It's fleeting. Remember when the shadows were short? Amen. But now they're long. Now they're long. It's fleeting, it's flying, it's flooding, it's flowering. The Bible says, for all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. 1 Peter 1:24. A flower has a limited time. In the spring it has life, and in the summer it becomes beautiful, and in the autumn it begins to die, and in the winter it's gone. That's the way time is, isn't it? We have our springtime of life. We have our summer of life. We have our autumn, and then winter comes. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Make time to three things, just applications tonight. Make time to reflect. Verses 1 through 7, reflect. Adoration upon the knowledge of God. Reflect upon him. But not just reflect on God, but reflect on yourself. Reflect on your own accountability. Verse number 8. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee. Reflect on our own hypocrisy. Verse 8. Our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Reflect on our own insecurity, for all our days are passed away in thy wrath. Verse 9, reflect on our brevity. We talked about that. Be it 70 or 80. Verse 11, reflect on our uncertainty. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Not only make time to reflect, and I think especially adoration of God, but make time to repent. Return, O Lord, how long? Let it repent thee concerning thy servants. Verse 13, reflecting is adoration to God. Repenting is confession to God. Coming to God and saying, God, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Repenting. Again, we talked about how God said, return unto me and I'll return to you. Draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you. So reflecting, adoration. Repenting, confession. Make time for requesting, supplication. We talked about there what those last five verses there, all the requests that are in there. That sounds like a devotional time with God. Take time, make time, apply your heart unto wisdom to reflect on him. Sometimes we just get right into prayer and we get busy and listen, I understand that. I'm around busy people. But we need to take time to reflect and adore him. Before we go into confession, before we take time and repent, just think about him. Reflect on what it says about him. Adore him. And then repenting and confession and requesting and supplication, taking time. It's just a matter of time. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the time that you give us. Lord, I think if we take one thing for granted amongst all your blessings, it's probably time. That we plan for the future, whether it be days, months, years, decades, but Lord, the fact that you hold our breath in your hand, you said in Psalm 31 that our times are in your hands. I pray that you would please bless us tonight. Lord, as we close our service, and Lord, as we have our business meeting to follow, Lord, may we truly adore you. May we truly reflect. May we truly repent. Would you show us areas of our lives that, Lord, need to be confessed and forsaken. And Lord, to know that if we return to you, that you will return to us. You said that you're willing to forgive. Lord, and then to take time not only to reflect and repent, but to request. Spend time in prayer with you. Bless us now, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name. How about